Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, New Delhi mob. Welcome back to your yarning circle, the Murray Grapevine. It is National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns, far north Queensland, on your dingy country. That's BBM Bummer Brip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Have your say, yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. And I'd like to acknowledge traditional owners of the land we broadcast from. And to all our traditional owners across this beautiful country, ours, welcome Black. National Talk Black, have your say, and we'll yarn up strong. Going to jump straight into it, and I say jump straight into it. Well, and apparently not. On August 9, the council here in Cairns, Cairns Regional Council, voted in favour of local law amendments, which include a proposed ban on fishing along Cairns Esplanade. Look, with that, we're going to catch up with a concerned citizen. We've got Billy Ashby, concerned resident, fisherman and resident of Cairns on the line. Billy, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
So, not good news, my brother. Councils have put forward, voted in favour of law amendments, which include proposed ban on fishing along Cairns Esplanade. What's your thoughts, Billy?
Yeah, not too good at all, actually. The more I read of the document, the scarier it gets. But yeah, basically they're saying that they want to have the right to decide if and where we can fish along that esplanade.
Mm.
And in theoretically, if they deem that you've done something wrong, they want the authority to be able to fine you some dollars out of your own pocket to be there. So I'm not sure where they expect us to fish. If they start with esplanade, they might even go along the whole coastline.
And what sort of things do you think that could go wrong or that an individual is doing wrong?
Well, what they're trying to say is that they've had complaints that people have nearly been hooked by a lure that they've been flicking.
Okay.
They reckon that people are leaving fish scales around the place and rubbish, etc.
Oh, the mess, yes.
And they're blaming this all on the fishermen. And, well, if anyone out there is listening that knows and fishes, they'll know that they actually clean up after themselves.
Yes.
So, or if, you know, someone else there has left a bit laying around, they'll clean up after them as well because, you know, this is the environment and this is what we enjoy and
exactly.
This is what we love being in amongst. So,
well, yeah. It's entertainment. It's a time of soothing the mind, the spirit, what have you, you know, and everyone chucks a line, you know what I mean? So walking along this, whether you're going for a jog or going for a walk with the family, see people fishing, and the fact of catching somebody in action of pulling something in, that's pretty exciting. People have conversations. It's a door opener, isn't it? You there, Billy? Hey, Billy, you're going fishing. Oh, I lost Billy. That's Billy Ashby, concerned fisherman and resident. He's talking about he's got concern about the Cairns Regional Council here in Cairns put in law amendments which include a proposed ban on fishing along Cairns Esplanade. And you'll have a minority that makes it bad for the majority. Some people who do fish, some people got a bad attitude regarding leaving mess behind and not cleaning up after themselves and what have you. And that makes it look bad and makes it bad for other fishermen, you know. So, yeah, but as Billy was alluding to, if you're fishing and you're a true fisherman, you do clean up after yourself. You know, you're respecting the country and the land and what have you. I think that's Billy now. We'll try again. Billy. Billy, you there, Billy?
Yeah, hey, brother, I'm used to the wife cutting me off, not
yeah.
you.
Sorry, brother, sorry. I thought you went fishing.
Yeah. Brother. Oh, don't tell me, mate, there's a couple of the rods in the shed. I can tell you the wind's dropping off.
I hear you. Billy, if you look at it, it's a beautiful a platform for communication, you know, for entertaining yourself and what have you, and it's soothing for the mind and the spirit. Fishing is a good thing, you know, but like you said, a minority make it bad for the majority. They leave all their gunk behind and scales and what have you and, gutting of the fish or whatever the case may be, and they're rubbish, and it makes it bad for everybody else, doesn't it?
Yeah, and the thing is, like, I fish a little bit off the Palm Cove jetty, so just recently we had a full moon, wonderful, well, it was the night after the full moon, as you know, we're fishing, that's what we follow, we don't necessarily follow the calendar, and took the young fella down there, and like he says, I take him fishing because we're not catching, but I took him down there, and, you know, like, people come down there, it was a Friday night, you know, all walks of life, they come down and watch the moon rise, we're there fishing, enjoying the serenity as well, and being able to communicate, we're not just like some young fellas that knocked off from a hard day's week work, having a quiet beer, to, you know, elderly people there, having a romantic night after that, you know, a meal in the Esplanade. And communication through all walks of life.
Exactly.
And enjoy the serenity while we're, you know, we're there trying to have a fish. We let them come in, take their photos for 20-odd minutes, so we sort of walked around them and was cautious. And then when they left, we got back serious fishing again.
Yeah, sure. And like you said, some beautiful conversations and brilliant relationships. That happens, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, what do they want? Do they want the kids just sitting at home, you know, on their electronics rather than join what is the serenity and the right of our people here in Cairns to be able to do? And, you know, we've been fishing in the little creeks here in the city trying to catch some tilapia and eradicate them on them big tides. And you see a few kids come down there around at 12, 13 years of age on a bike. You know, not sure, you know, I'd be the same if I lived in there and the young fella wanted to go for a fish down there. But where do they want him to now fish? They want him to go down to the creeks where the crocs are?
Well, exactly. There you go. Exactly. Now, has this been put in place, Billy?
What's that, mate?
Has this been put in place? Has it already made a decision, or are they conversing with the constituents of Cairns? What's the go?
Well, I didn't get an answer back, but I finally got a text through. Apparently, it's put on the Cairns Post online department late last night. They are going to consider this meeting tonight to go into their submissions, because their submissions finished at close of business yesterday. So convenient that they have a meeting after the close of business.
Exactly.
But, and that was the question I was asking, was will it be put in it? And I had nothing back but confirmation come through the local media, so to speak, to say that they will take the submissions today or tonight into that platform.
But when they say that the council voted in favour of local law amendments, which included a proposed ban of fishing, seems like there was no conversation with the people of Cairns.
Well, that's correct. Yeah, and if don't worry, I'm no lawyer. I'm just a truck driver. But the more I read into the document, in theory, they're supposed to have a public consultation.
Yes.
So whether they've now been, I've caught them out a little, and they've now gone, shit, we need to have one, and this is what tonight's about for them to cross that, tick that box to say, well, we conducted it. But
after the fact, so the horse is already bolted, is what we're saying, Billy.
Yeah, but here's an opportunity. If the people are serious and want that right, which is our right, then they better get their bums here tonight.
Exactly. Well, Billy, thank you for shedding light on this. Very sad. I'm not a fisherman myself, but I'm all for the activity. I think it's a great thing. It's, like I said, soothing for the mind, the soul, the spirit, communication, and you're not hurting anybody throwing a line in the water, eh, mate?
Well, we put a sign up to say beware of the crocodiles.
Well, there you go. Warning the tourists, yes, visitors.
Yeah, yeah.
Keeping
why
them
not
safe.
Just right on that same post say beware of fishermen flicking lures, like.
Well, exactly.
That. You don't
see
people walking out in the water to have a look for a crocodile, so why would they walk all the way up to a fisherman with a risk of hooks, etc.?
Sure, and exactly. And most fishermen have a look behind before they throw the line anyway.
Well, like I said yesterday, what do they call them? Chameleons are envious of us because we have four rods out and their eyes are going in all different directions, keeping an eye on them. So we're going to see them at some stage, aren't we?
Exactly, my friend. Hey, good talking with you, Billy. Thank you very much, brother.
Hey,
all the best.
Thanks for the opportunity. Very much appreciated for your time.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, mate.
Diddly yarn there. Billy Ashby is a concerned fisherman and a resident of Cairns, and with the Cairns Regional Council. It's very sad, but I think the horse already bolted. They put out a statement regarding law amendments, and which include proposed ban on fishing along the Cairns Esplanade. And everybody knows along the Cairns Esplanade, a beautiful running track it is. It's a nice stroll for families, good picnic events, and hats off to Cairns Regional Council and work that they've done in beautification of the Esplanade. But then banning fishing? I mean, you always see people fishing along there, and it's good yarns, a good conversation, and not hurting anyone. But for those ones who are fishing there, not clean up the mess, then, hey, check yourself before you wreck yourself. But otherwise, have you say Jan Armstrong, add to the conversation here on National Talk Black. With that, let's go to song. Barry Cedric, Got to Go Fishing. Love that.
Got to go fishing. Pitch up the spot on the beach as the tide rushes on in. So glad we're going fishing.
Yeah, too fitting. Got to go fishing. Barry Cedric after that deadly yarn with Billy Ashby. Trevor Tim here, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. I'm going to catch up with Tony Gibbs. Tony, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Trevor. How are you, radio brother?
I'm well, my brother. How are you travelling? How's things?
I'm back on the council. You've been on holiday, a long walk in Fiji.
Yeah, walkabout, brother, but back, yes, back on country.
Yeah, Bulawanaka.
Bulawanaka, yes.
I've just come from the cemetery with the press.
Yeah, okay.
Grave. I want to update you.
Yes, please. How are you travelling?
Rocky Road. After last time I talked to you, the council said that if I put the thing in, they would send a letter and they would pull it out. They send a worker over to the cross for my loved one's grave. And so I went to put in the cross, and they'd filled the thing in with big rocks. And I thought they'd cemented in the hole. And I went there with an engineer friend of mine. Yeah. I bought a wheelbarrow and 10 bags of quickset cement and put the cross in the ground. Yeah. And it's perfect. It's just a permanent thing. And then I've got the letter from the council now that I'd like to read out, that they are going to pull it out, they reckon.
Okay.
And I really need to read this out so everybody knows. The Cairns Council, they want to stop us fishing, want us... Anyway.
Go ahead, mate, yep.
Yeah, it's not a very long letter. Gravesite of Donna Gibbs, Gordon Vale Cemetery. Dear Mr Gibbs, it has come to Council's attention that an unapproved permanent memorial cross has been installed on the above-mentioned gravesite. We regret to inform you that Council prohibits the installation of permanent memorials without approval, and all permanent memorials must meet relevant specifications. Due to the above, the permanent memorial cross is required to be removed. Please remove the unapproved permanent memorial by 29th of September 23. If the permanent memorial cross is not removed by the above mentioned date, Council officers will attend to the removal and the memorial will be held for collection. Although all care will be taken during this process, damage may result. Last line, should you wish to install a permanent memorial on the site, please contact a monumental mason. An application for memorial and a list of monumental masons is attached to for your convenience, yours sincerely, Alicia Bean, Acting Coordinator, Community Business.
So that's the process.
Well, they're going to pull it out because it's not approved, because it's a threat to their industry because it's aluminium. Now, the press have been out this morning and photographed another aluminium cross that's been in the ground for 7 years. They filmed me. I took my cross out there too, and Cairns Post, I really thank them for coming out. Look for the story soon. And it's a disgrace, mate. And my last thought is that I want to call the police and say that the council is disturbing the peace if they're going to pull a cross out of a grave of an Aboriginal woman in the cemetery.
So what's plan B, brother? What are you going to do?
Plan B? Well, not this weekend, maybe the weekend after. Before the 29th, I will put my cross in the ground next to my wife. And it's professionally done by a proper engineer. It specialises in concrete work. I'm an ex-boilermaker. Sure. The work was fabricated in local industry, so money was spread around. And it's a battle. So it's a monumental battle. I've got to look on the bright side of life. I will not.
Exactly. So the bottom line, you do want the cross up.
Yeah, I'm going to put mine up too. I bought a brand new wheelbarrow, Bunnings in there, and the cement, and went there. And a really good friend I've made has come and helped me because I've got a witness and also a structural engineer.
But what's your feel? Your feel is that you got the right to put the cross up and not go through the so-called due process.
Yeah, because, and I took the press all around the cemetery today and showed them poor graves that disintegrate, wooden ones and stuff, and a lot of the family, and they see I'm well, I have knowledge of the cemetery. And they like what they saw, you know.
Sure.
The wind was blowing, you know. I was blowing in the wind. I'm not... It's not something that anybody wants to do. I've got to put up my own cross, you know.
Yeah.
And this, it's like being constantly on the rack, you know. It's mental on the rack. Will they pull it out or not? So I'm going to call their bluff because we have to change things ourselves, like fishing, you know.
Mm.
Like cemetery, they're touching sacred things there. They're, like some of them people there go down fishing off track, but they want to feed too, you know. They're not just down there as tourists.
Yeah, true, too. Yep.
Yeah, true, mate. Mm. Not true. That, you know, that's Murray Tucker. And so they don't understand the impact they have racially on other people, like particularly this grave. You know, all I did is promise my wife I'll be buried next year. Now, I'll put the cross up and then I'll put mine up, and it's hard work. And they tried to stop me doing it. I'll put it up, and whether my carcass ends up there or not, I don't know. But my intentions are known, and I expect them to just allow this, because I can't live with this.
Sure.
But the sound of the thing,
the so-called due process wasn't done council-wise. They may take the cross down, and are you ready for that?
Well, that's up to them, because it'll be a national disgrace, and this family will go off.
Mm.
You know, it's a grave, professionally built, put in. It's not... You see, it's the masons, the stonemasons.
Mm.
You look in the cemetery, you see all the shining stones, and there's a fortune of what people have spent there, but we can't all afford that.
A quid, don't worry about that, yes.
Oh, it's a quid, mate. But here's something that we can do ourselves. You know, we can handle the price of what I've done. Well, I've been able to do it on my own with a pension, get a car going, through the rent. You know, it's another miracle on the what you have. It's my part of my place in the community, in the dingy mob out here, to fulfil my duties as a husband.
Yes.
And so that's a human right. And they used to have what they call the separation of powers, you know, like when the church ruled everybody, and then they said, no, the parliament there and the politicians there and the church, and they're separate.
Mm.
I find this is going back on historical things that have been dealt with in the past. They're interfering with our right to maintain our own graves. Mm. It's sort of saying, and they sent me a list there, a list of monumental masons, and on the top it says, application for memorial. And then in brackets, it's got vault, headstone, or plaque. Well, it doesn't say cross.
Mm.
So what, they don't approve of a cross. It's a cemetery, for Christ's sake, you know.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, mate, that they've, you know, like, I'm just reporting what's happening.
Sure.
And I'm really happy to press, and I've been waiting for you to come back. And I'm just, you know, I've got this condition of stress.
Yes.
That I'm under all the time. I broadcast, I'm not well. And this is adding to it. It's like burning constantly at the stake, you know.
Mm.
How do they be so inhumane to stop a man looking after his missus?
Yes, yes.
I'm speechless, mate, but I'm just reporting.
Okay, well, thank you for reporting, and good luck with it all. And stay strong, mate. Stay strong, Tony.
Yeah, well, the other cross is going to go in. They're playing the wrong game of poker here.
Okay, brother. Take care, Tony. Be in touch, eh?
Yeah, mate. Thank you.
Bye, mate. Tony Gibbs having his say, talking about his situation regarding putting a cross up for his loved one, Aboriginal woman from Yidinji woman, and buried a couple of years ago now, and he wants to put a cross up and not going through a due process regarding council. permission to do so. So he's got a little bit of a fight on his hand, but uses this vehicle, National Tall Black, to have his say. You can do the same by calling us on that deadly number, 1-800-422-416. National Tall Black, one-hour program, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on your Dingy Country. With the Bully One, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, Jan Upstrong, 1-800-422-416. You can text the brother as well, 045-714-0550, and our Facebook page as well, BBM987FM. Stay tuned, you mob, too deadly.
Glen Ready, Bakir Ge, Das Meli, Aumuriske. Glen Ready, Bakir Ge, Das Meli, Aumuriske. Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Tabakeslewa, this one my place. Tabakeslewa, this one my place.
Sitting on a big stone, let me look a long way. Money sitting on a big stone,
that's really how Murray's gay.
Money sitting on a big stone, let me look a long way. Money sitting on a big stone,
that's really how Murray's gay. Tabakeslewa, 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 this one my place. Tabakeslewa. Tabakeslewa, this one my place.
Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske.
Lem ready au bakir ge,
das meli au muriske.
Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Tabakeslewa, Tabakeslewa. Tabakeslewa, this one my place. Tabakeslewa, 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 this one my place.
Tabakeslewa.
Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Lem ready au bakir ge, das meli au muriske. Tabakesle. Tabakeslewa.
Tag mauki mauki. Teter Mauki Mauki. Adlegir Mimika.
Yeah, daily track there. Fisherman by Drews Namok Bala with us in spirit, my brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have your say, Yarn Up Strong, 1-800-422-416. Call the number, Yarn Up, is yours truly, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. Come to you live from First Station Radio Station here in Cairns in your Dingy Country. BB and Bumbra Bip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation, thanks to NERS, National Israeli Service. Yarn Up Strong, you mob. Now, hundreds gather at Puluma Conference in Darwin to preserve Australia's Indigenous languages, with about 90% of Australia's Indigenous languages considered endangered. Hundreds of people have gathered at a major event to help save them. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Darren McKinney, Muruma Aboriginal Language and Technology Centre. Darren's on the line. Darren, good morning, Darren. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, brother. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, Darren.
My name is Darren McKenney. I'm living down on Awabakal country, east coast New South Wales. But my nan and pop are both Gumaroi Wiradjuri people from inland.
Beautiful.
Inland deadly country footprint. Down this way.
Yep, deadly footprint. Thank you very much, brother. So, Murrumba Aboriginal Language and Technical Centre, you've got to be happy with the fact that a conference is happening to preserve Australia's Indigenous languages.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, of course, the event has happened. It finished full 5 days, but
okay.
Yeah, Miramar has been behind it since its beginning back in 2007, and we're seeing it grow from having 80 people attend the conference to having 1,000 people at this last one.
Yes, beautiful, and that shows the importance of such an event. And, you know, protection of our languages across the big island, the whole of Australia, with all the different tribal people we have, there should be a platform and the government should be supporting and investing in this space, yes?
Yeah, it's taken a while for not just government, but even for our own people to understand the importance of our languages. And it actually first started for me personally back in 2017 when we had NAIDOC Week, Our Languages Matter.
Yes.
Is the theme for NAIDOC in that year.
Yes.
And that was actually the start of really our own mob starting to really think about and understand that we actually, that they do matter.
Mm.
And it's from that point onwards where we've just gone forward in the acknowledgement, in the recognition, in the want and the needs for our languages to be living.
Yes.
And the government has come forward this year even more, themselves taking ownership with the Australia's Action Plan launch called Voices of Country, which is tied in and Australia's response for the International Decade of Indigenous Languages. And that is the Voices of Country is a joint ownership of an action plan developed by both community and government together. And one of the first documents, action plans of its type in any area within Australia. And it's groundbreaking, but it's happening.
Fantastic, brother. And so with that, for mob who is sitting there listening to our conversation, and they've got language there, but they haven't acted on it, what do tribal people do in regards to being at the table, so to speak?
Well, okay, I'll sum it up. I'll go back to this action plan and sum it up with the thoughts which we developed within this document itself there. And it's available. I think it's downloadable already. But what we've developed is five themes which really summarise where we're at with our languages and so forth and what our wants and needs are.
Yes.
Theme one is to stop the loss. Really, reality is we need to stop the loss of our languages in whatever form that may be, whether that's with our last speakers, whether that's finding it once again with a lot of languages where we don't have speakers, but it was documented 200 years ago. We need to stop that loss in whatever way we can.
Yeah.
The second theme is communities are the centre. Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander communities are at the centre of this. It needs to be led by community, our elders, our people. Our voices have to come through from community there. And that's what will give us stronger and safer communities when it is led at community. That is foundational for our languages. The third theme is that we need intergenerational knowledge transfer. Yeah, this has to be happening. This is after. Yeah, this is the second part. This is whether it's happening in the schools, whether it's happening in language nests, whether it's happening in any area whatsoever. Bilingual education up in the top end there.
Yes.
This is paramount that happens. The fourth theme is caring for country. Languages are the gateway to our knowledge systems. Pure and simple.
Exactly.
Our languages are environmentally based. Pure and simple. Our knowledge system through our languages is constantly connecting us to the environment, whether it's us looking up to the stars and seeing our our astrology, reading our seasons, our creation, whether it's the seven sisters we're talking about, for us mob down our way, whether it's the emu and the kangaroo up there, everything is connected from the furthest star to the deepest ocean,
yes,
and everything in between. And we need to care for that so we can also care for us. So languages is how we get to that knowledge system.
Yes.
Otherwise, it's just filtered down Western thinking, Western translations.
Mm.
So we can't do that. We can't allow that. And the fifth theme for us is truth-telling and celebration.
Yeah.
We need to be able to speak the truth.
Exactly.
We need to understand and be honest about why we are in the situation we are in. Why is Australia one of the three world's hotspots for language loss?
Yes.
Yet we're one of the youngest countries in the world.
Exactly.
500-plus languages in our country, yet we've only got 16 of those at the current number that are sitting in an okay space. 16 out of 500.
Yeah,
that's not good.
Not good.
And we also need to be able to celebrate, but in whatever way that may be, whether it's the Pulima National Language Conference, whether it's someone standing up and singing an absolutely amazing song in language, whether it be reciting poetry in language, whether it be putting songs to dance, because you know our mob love to dance. I can't dance, but our mob love to dance.
Sure, exactly.
And that can't happen unless we've got song.
Yeah.
All of this stuff, of course, is part of our belief system. And in whatever that may be, whether it's our traditional ways or whether it's our modern ways.
Yes.
Yeah, these five themes, which were all developed by Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, 13 of us, which come together to support this international decade, really do sum up those five themes with amazing actions and strategies within all of them.
Excellent. With Pulima, people can contact Pulima. How do they do that, brother? Your webpage or what have you? You there? Darren? Oh, I lost Darren. Darren. We'll try and get Darren back. Darren McKinney, his name is. Moroma, Aboriginal Language and Technical Centre, and talking about the gathering at the Pulima Conference in Darwin. That happened recently, and it's about preserving Australia's language, Indigenous languages. And I just wanted to ask, how do people contact Pulima to try and get information? If you've got, I think that's Darren there. Darren, you there? Can you?
How much of that did you lose?
Yeah, no, I caught it all, my brother. Can you hear me okay? You there? No, I lost him. Darren. Try and get Darren back, and... yeah, we caught everything that you were saying, Darren. It's just that, you couldn't hear me, but we'll try and get you back and finish that conversation. But look, fantastic. He said about 80 people part of the Pulima conference in regard to the organisation, but now there's over 1,000 people. So that shows that progress is fantastic, slowly but surely, and we'll try and get the brother back. I think we've got him there. Darren, you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah. How much of that did you lose?
No, I caught everything, and you received you loud and clear. Just couldn't hear me at the end when I was asking the questions, that's all. And the question I was asking with Pulima, can contact you guys regarding if they've got language or how you can nurture them and direct them and what they do with their languages?
Absolutely. It's what Pulima has become.
Okay.
It's an amazing gathering, and it's building the network. It's making sure that people know they're not alone in doing this work. And that's one thing is that we need to be able to come together and support one another. So even our work at Miramar or through Pulima, we'll know someone who can help you in some way.
You got a webpage yet? You got a webpage yet, Darren?
Yeah, PULIMA.com for the conference.
Yep.
Or Miramar, just Google Miramar, MIROMAA,
Lovely.
And yeah, you know, like we're here to help. Yeah, we can't do anything and we can't do everything, but we're certainly good at putting you in contact with people.
Beautiful, fantastic. We're doing a great job there. Thank you very much. It's great to hear that numbers are growing. Look, it's very important that we protect Australian Indigenous languages, and that is our baseline. That's our communication. And 60,000 years need to keep it going. Darren, all the best. We'll talk soon, my brother.
Thank you. All good.
Take care, bro.
Bye.
Bye bye. Adelie Yarn there, that's Darren McKinney, his name is, director. He's with Muruma Aboriginal Language and Technical Technology Centre. So if you have got languages out there and you want to know how to protect it, how to go about it, Puluma Conference, do check it out or go to Google Muruma, M-I-R-O-M-A-A, and they'll be able to guide you and direct you. But so very important space. So there it is. Have you seen Yarn Upstrong? Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black. 1-800-422-416.
G'day, this is Guy Sebastian here, hanging up on National Talk Black, your big yarning show, BBM 98.7.
I remember the day.
In this moment, I know I made it. I saw the walls I had to climb and then I faced it. I made it home, call the papers. And tell my family I'll be home for tea. I know that it's been ages,
and I can't pretend that it's not bittersweet. As I'm standing here, this feeling, it just washes over me. And I can't fall the way it helps me breathe. I was scared I wouldn't make it. I was crawling on my knees, but I survived.
Daily program, National Talk Black. We've got a caller on the line. Good morning. How are you?
Debit.
Yeah, who's calling? Oh, Debit. Who's that?
Yeah, how are you?
Yeah, who's calling? Michael Newey? Angela?
Yeah, that's
my brother.
Yeah.
Good morning. How are you?
Yeah, Debit.
Good morning, brother. Go ahead. What you in the yarn about, Michael?
First of all, I just want to, you know, say a big shout out there to everybody.
Yes.
Across the country, our country.
Yes.
Especially to our children that need to be protected, and to our elders, and to the love of life.
Love of life. I love that. Beautiful. Yes.
Love of life.
Exactly.
Yes. Because, you know, like with the voice and everything happening, trying to say to our people, you know, we used to all this stuff.
Exactly. Nothing new.
You know what? Negative stuff.
Yep.
We've got to look at the positive side of things.
Yes.
We've got to look at what Barbados is doing in the Caribbean.
Yep.
In taking the criminals to court for slavery. It's on tonight on the Foreign Correspondent.
Okay.
If everyone watches the ABC.
Yes.
We need to do the same.
Well, if you commit a crime, Michael, if you commit a crime, the crime is always the crime. So whether they get charged or taken to court 5 months down the track or 55 years down the track, the crime is the crime.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, whether it's 255
years. Yes,
yes. You know, the crime scene is still here.
Mm-hmm.
It's still everywhere across this country. You know, we got to, when we talk about truth telling, well, let's face the truth.
Yeah.
If we call ourselves humanity, well, let's face the truth about the history of humanity. Because, you know, like when people talk, when they rubbish China, you know, we got to ask that question. Did China ever commit a genocide across the whole world?
Yep.
You know?
Yep. Exactly. That's a good point. Very good point. Major point. Mm.
Yeah. Did the Chinese people invade Europe and try to wipe them out or wipe out the Pacific and wipe out every First Nation people around the world? No, it was the British and the Europeans. Marukai.
Yes.
Evil spirit with people. You know, they will turn on themselves and then turn on everybody else. Mm. All for the love of money.
Yep, greed. Greed.
Wine and grog and the other thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Poison stuff.
Yeah, they still do it today.
Yeah.
Now they're stealing children from all over the world like they did in the past. And today they're still stealing children and selling them for money. And, you know, we've seen the movie Sound of Freedom.
Yeah, exactly.
But we have
human trafficking is what you're talking about, brother. Yes.
We happen to ask, you know, what was the Stolen Generation is about? You know, that's stealing.
Yeah.
Stealing children for the, you know, for their own.
21st century Stolen Generation.
Yeah. It's still happening all over the world.
Yes.
Slavery is still happening.
Yeah.
And today they still, like I said the other day, we got to get rid of them sugarcane farm because that represents slavery.
Okay, genocide. Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
And we got to throw food. That's our land. Let's knock it all down. Cause we plant that.
Yeah.
Knock it all down and grow food so we can feed the nation.
Yeah.
That's what we should be doing on this planet. Growing food.
Yes.
Growing food in the desert. Growing food everywhere. All over the world. There should be a world competition. Growing food.
Yes.
You know, aquaculture, horticulture, all the other culture.
Yeah.
That's human culture.
Human culture right there. True, brother.
Yeah, growing food. To feed the children, you know. So when we go, our children have food all over the place.
All over the place. Feed the people. Feed the children. Our future.
There's food everywhere.
My brother, I'm going to go to another yarn, but thank you for your call, Michael. Too deadly. Big shout out, my brother. This is your daily program, National Talk Black, and another young coming. Got news coming up very soon as well. Thinking about your body next to mine, butterflies gonna keep on flying. You're too messed up to remember.
Hey, you mob, it's Jessica Malboy, and you're tuned into National Talk Black, Trevor Tim, Trendy Turf, Murray from the Curry via BBM 98.7 FM, also NERS. National Indigenous Radio Service.
That ain't on me, it's on you.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry, come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country as BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Have you say yarn up strong, 1-800-422-416. And Monash University delivers scholarship boosts for Indigenous, low-income, income and regional students through a Kamaji Yilinji scholarship program. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn there with Jamil Tai, director of the William Cooper Institute at Monash University. Jamil, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, brother. I'm well. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from, brother.
Yeah, absolutely. Morning, everyone. So I'm Jamil Tai. I'm a proud Yorta Yorta Bunwarang man. So if anyone knows the southern part of Australia, I'm from my family from the Shepparton, Marutna, Echuca and Moama part, along the Dunga or the Murray, and then down the peninsula, down, you know, Mornington, that sort of way.
Delhi footprint, cold, I would say, from far north Queensland, but Delhi brother, thank you for coming to the program. Look, congratulations. Monash University will offer over $50 million in scholarship in over the next 3 years of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students. So tell us about this space and this fantastic platform for our mob to be educated, brother.
Yeah, look, it is a fantastic commitment that we've made. It sort of builds on a commitment that we started last year, which was to increase our minimum scholarship offering from $3,000 to $5,000. And so this takes that another step up to $6,500 for all commencing Indigenous students, which is absolutely fantastic, really. And also as part of that, an Indigenous relocation scholarship, which is a one-off $6,000 payment for any student that's enrolled in undergraduate or postgraduate degree that's moving to study with us from a regional or remote area.
And we're talking, no matter what they're studying, it's open to all First Nation students, yeah?
Absolutely. As long as they're studying a coursework course, they're more than able to access this, which is fantastic, and that's the only requirement. So it's really a bit of a game changer, which is extremely exciting for us.
So how do mob apply? What's the application process?
So down here, we've got the VTAC system. So any student that wants to apply for an undergraduate course that's coming through high school, they'll apply through the VTAC system, and through there, they'll automatically apply for our scholarships through that. And then we assess their application, obviously, and then it's just a matter of processing it, which is fantastic. And then if you're a postgraduate student, it's just about filling out the postgrad application form, and then that'll notify us at the William Cooper Institute and our scholarships team, and we'll be able to make the payment from there.
Fantastic. Can you help us in regards to students in regarding their living standards? Is there hostels, or how does that work regarding accommodation if they're flying from out of the city?
Yeah, look, we've got the Monash Residential Services, which is basically a number of halls that our students stay at. So on campus, which is fantastic. If you imagine sort of the American-style campus model, that's us at Monash. So you eat and socialise and play sport all in the one spot, which is absolutely fantastic. And all of our students are guaranteed a place on res as well if they apply, which is fantastic. So we've got great connections and support through our MRS team as well.
And so there are a committee as such, First Nation committee, to guide support our students while they're studying?
Yeah, definitely. We've got a couple of different functions like that. So obviously at the William Cooper Institute, we've got a student support sort of team and they administer the tutoring and those sorts of things. But then out of that, we've also got a student arm. So we call it the Indigenous MSA, and they provide sort of input and guidance on what sorts of programs and functions we need to be delivering to make sure we're providing the best support. And then out of halls, so all the students that stay at MRS, there's actually an Indigenous advisory sort of committee there, and then they oversee things like a buddy program, so all commencing students will get paired with another Indigenous student from the year ahead that's just gone through the process to help that sort of transition into campus life be a little bit smoother.
Now, that's fantastic. So there's support across all avenues. Great to see. So when can people put in their application as such?
They can apply right away if they're coming to Monash next year. VTAC is open, so they can put that application in. And then obviously if they want to study a postgrad course, that's open throughout the year, but they can just head onto our website and fill all that out, and we'll receive their application.
Fantastic. Like I said, we need more successes, black successes in this country, and not only on the football field, brother.
Absolutely, we do, brother. We've had some great growth over the last sort of 5 or so years at Monash.
Good.
Starting with, I think, when I commenced here back in 2018, we had 219 Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander students, and we're up to almost 400 now, which is fantastic growth across, you know, all the different faculties. So, yeah, it's really exciting.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for sharing, my brother. All the best to you, Jamil, and all our black students. Keep doing what you're doing. There's a great platform, and from little things, big things grow. I'll chuck that in there, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you, brother.
All the best. You take care. Keep smiling, and we'll talk soon, bro.
Sounds good.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Diddly yarn there, Jamil Tai, his name is, director of the William Cooper Institute at Monash University, and talking about Monash University delivering scholarship boost for Indigenous, low-cum and regional students through Kamaji, Yilinji and the scholarship program. So there it is, over $50 million in scholarship over the next 3 years. So your mob, there it is, even if you left school 3 years ago, there's an opportunity. We are students for life. You can apply at any age. So do check out their webpage, Monash University, for support there in the financial sense to become a student and a qualified graduate. That's what it's all about. Have your saying yarn up strong. Add to the conversation here, National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
We got Talk Black with Uncle Trevor, Murray from the Curry. Call in on 1-800-422-416, 98.7 FM, BBM.